Gabs, one of the world's best beer festivals, is coming to Brisbane April 27. Book now at gabsfestival.com. The
Big Breakfast. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Ahoy, it's The Big Breakfast. Marto, Robin and Nick Cody. Well, we're not here, but we're not far away.
So all this week, you'll be hearing some of our best stuff from this year.
And we'll be back Tuesday the 23rd from 5:30. Let's catch up then. But for now, enjoy the podcast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Winx has got a lot to answer for, I reckon, with my mates. I've never known so many of my mates to have bought into syndicates, like with other blokes.
Because of Winx.
Yeah. Because of Winx and Black Caviar, because they look and they go, God, they look happy. Do you know how much they money? They only put in $20,000, some of those people, and they've made hundreds of thousands of dollars out of it.
I had a mate that bought 10% of a horse for $15,000, right, over the course of 18 months. I think he was paying about a grand... maybe just under a grand a month, upkeep and training fees
That's fair dinkum. I've got mates who are going and
I
only cost
maybe
me 24.
It was 500 a month.
Yeah, right.
Whatever it was, he was putting in heaps of money.
Yeah.
After 18 months, right, it spent close to 25, 30 grand on this horse. Ooh. And he was getting updates, right? The first update was it was running around. It's put its foot through a fence. So they've had to rest it for a little bit.
Oh, spell.
Rest it for a few months.
It'll spell. Yep.
Yep. He's still forking out cash. And then the next time it does a trial and his horse just started to bite the other horses as they were running.
Bad horse.
And the trainer, a famous trainer, said, man, we're just going to get a brain scan for it. And he said, oh, I don't know how to break this to you, Kano. Your horse is a bit slow, mate.
What do you mean?
He had a slow horse. He had a mentally slow horse.
Oh, no. Mentally slow.
Not all there.
So they've looked at the brain and gone, he doesn't have much.
He does not have much.
Hold on, what's the test look like? Is it, you know, give me five?
I don't know.
Three plus two, is it supposed to?
It was the opposite of Mr. Ed, is what my mate's horse was. And then hears nothing for 6 weeks and then gets a check for $32 in the mail from Pell. They turned it into dog food. My mate said he'll never cash the check because he wants to remind himself to never buy a horse again. 25 grand into 32 bucks.
Oh, what an advertisement for the thoroughbred industry. That guy involved in the carjacking at West Chermside, not Chermside West.
You get
West.
Funny about that.
I grew up there. That's where I was born. You know, where I started my life. I went to Chermside States because it's Chermside West. It's West Chermside.
Ah, no.
West Chermside. Yes. They've been doing it for years. Yeah. They've been trying to change the name of a suburb and they can't.
They even got you.
That's not what this is about.
Gone.
That's not what this is about, though. This is about that guy who did the carjacking. Did you see it on the news last night? Stop laughing and pay attention. Did you see the guy pull up? Poor woman.
Yes.
Two kids are in the car.
Yes.
Pulls up his stolen car. Tells her, listen, out you get.
How controlled was she?
Did you notice that?
Yeah, she was just like, okay, like dudes. And she wasn't hysterical.
And she got her two kids out of the car and they stood next to them and watched their car. It was as if it was the third time this week that her car's been stolen in front of
her. It did appear a little odd.
Anyway, so I thought at the time, now the inevitable has happened. This guy was caught overnight and they tracked him down. And you just have a listen to this. This is the report on the news last night, okay?
24-year-old has incredibly distinctive tattoos, one above his right eye, the others on his neck.
Okay, I'm not a genius, but I'll tell you what. If you're going to be a criminal, you don't need those facial tattoos to identify you. Unless you've got zinc cream or something at 11 o'clock last night. Why are you wearing zinc cream, mate? Nothing.
Well, maybe, though, his problem is that, you know, when you see people and they don't have the tattoo coloured in yet, it's just the outline. Maybe he's just a quarter of a way to a tattooed balaclava.
Does the name Mexican Hoon Cartel mean anything to anybody in here?
Is that what Mexico's dropped off to since El Chapo's been locked up? They're not moving the big stuff anymore.
They're just hooning around.
It's just a cartel of people that do doughies. That's what
the wall.
They're a bunch of blokes down the Gold Coast, okay? They're law-breaking petrol heads, I think you'd describe them. I've done a little bit of digging because they came up in about August last year where some of them got arrested and stuff. They do hooning. They wear balaclavas. I see they've even got little stickers now, like a sombrero hat.
Oh,
little,
dear.
Yeah, to identify themselves, okay? There's about 11,000 people. It sounds wicked. Like, it's a pretty evil name. Mexican Hoon Cartel. One of them got arrested in August last year while he was doing his shift at Bunnings. Like, they'd be happy. All right. Well, wow. Here was the headline last night from the Gold Coast. They go around sliding and drifting and all that sort of thing and posting. Here's the headline.
Just moments ago, police raided this Varsity Lakes home. Inside is the alleged ringleader of the Mexican Hoon Cartel.
Now I'm going, whoa, the Mexican Hoon Cartel. He was living with his mum and dad. If you're the head of a cartel, are you still living at home with mum and dad? They were standing in the garage looking mighty disappointed. Yeah. This is how Channel 9 started their news last night. Oh, God. Oh.
A ringleader on their peas. That's never a good sign, is it? And also, whoever at Channel 9 News is in charge of headings, how did they not go with iCarumba? Come on. It's the Mexican cartel.
Nice lift, Channel 9.
The words I love you. Because yesterday I had a kind of odd scenario. There's a woman that I've been dealing with for probably 15 years in Sydney who's done jewellery and stuff for me. She's done repairs for me. She's a silversmith and she does amazing, amazing jewellery. But yesterday I was speaking to her about repairing something for me and I was going to send it to Sydney and she ended the call with, I love you. Mm. I'm like, no. No, you don't. I don't know what to say to that.
Really,
and I just wanted a bit of a ruling. I mean, and it's sweet, and I think that passing love from one person to the other, but when I think it's the words, I love you, like even if it was love
ya. Yeah, and it's also that, yeah, love ya, that's fine.
So I just.
I love ya, okay.
I don't know. What,
for someone who's not in your family?
This is my point. Like, and I didn't want to be rude, and I actually thought afterwards, oh, that's nice. Mm.
How far do your I love yous extend? Is it to Sean, the kids, your mother, your sister?
Yeah.
I just wrote down my list while you asked me to while the song was on.
I said to Mato I loved him and there was this really awkward silence.
No, well, you didn't.
Mato says it to his wife, his shed.
The dog, the big tongue patch.
I said the ruling. All right. What about you, Nick?
I've got wife, son, family. That's sober I love yous, close friends after 15 standard drinks, Uber drivers at 5 a.m. Bloody Ripper night, 300 loose units turning up to see my new tour show, Old Mate, and I don't know why I attract the loose units. It's maybe because I talk about beer every night on stage for the last 11 years or the good fact on. I've got a staffy or I'm on Triple M. But
any one of those is totally
and
good.
I was talking to someone in the crowd last night, bloody great crowd. We're talking about dogs. I've got my beautiful little staffy, Yumi, who's up here at the minute in the spiritual home of staffy. She's up in Caboolture. She's running for mayor next week. She's got a teardrop tattoo. She's really getting amongst it. And I was talking to people about their dogs, and a lady in the crowd said she had a greyhound.
Oh, running at the moment?
No, because I was talking about I had to leave her at the pet's hotel, like a dog kennel. And I asked if anyone had left their dog there, and she said, yep, I left my greyhound there. Oh. And I said, what sort of greyhound? She said, a rescue greyhound. And I said, one of the bad racing ones then. You know what I mean? Like, I hadn't met her dog personally, but I've got a feeling I have seen it on a TV, and I've thrown some scrunched up paper at that TV.
Right? On behalf of that dog.
And everyone's having a laugh. And I said, how old's your dog? And she said, it's dead.
Oh.
But this is my favourite thing about Brisbane. Mm. 300 people laughed.
Oh, good.
Only in Queensland could someone announce they've got a dead dog and everyone's like, oh, your pet's gone. That's hilarious.
200 for them must have had a bet on it.
If I was down in Melbourne, 200 would have started crying. One would be writing a blog. But up here, I'm triggered, a dead dog. I've heard of that before. But up in Brizzy, woo!
Hello, I'm Kevin McLeod, and welcome to Grand Design's Queensland Cyclone Edition. Today, I'm visiting the home of Gareth Fenworth in the Brisbane suburb of New Farm. It's a ghastly McMansion on the Brisbane River, purchased from a display village during their half-price spa promotion. Any other day, we'd find Gareth on the veranda, barbecuing prawns and pineapple, and his wife Cheryl in the kitchen adding mango to a salad. But not today. With Cyclone Omar bearing down on the Sunshine State, it's time to batten down the hatches. Like any Queensland family finding themselves in peril, their first instinct is to protect what's nearest and dearest, their jet ski.
It's been moved into the dining room, and the cane furniture with hibiscus cushions piled on top to protect it. The next room appears to be something of a masculine sanctuary, or man cave. The walls are adorned with sporting memorabilia, a lovely match for the 4X bar, pinball machine, and dartboard. I asked Gareth if he'd always dreamt of having a man cave when he told me it's actually their formal living area. Yuck. The sky has turned dark and broody and the storm has arrived. The Brisbane River has turned the colour of feces. I'm sorry, that's a typo. The Brisbane River remains the colour of feces. Strong winds and torrential rain are lashing the CBD, already causing several million dollars worth of improvements. Back at Gareth's place, the roof has filled with water and collapsed, making him wish he'd paid for waterproofing and home insurance instead of the hot tub. The family huddle together in a corner and start praying to their god, Jonathan Thurston. I think I might join them. Though I wasn't a religious man before today, a look into suburban Brisbane has shown me there is a hell. Well, that's it for today on Grand Design's Queensland Cyclone Edition. Good luck, Gareth.
Guys, I got my first ever mole cut out yesterday.
Oh, well done you. Oh,
yeah, because so I remember proud. when I came in at the end of last year, you were both telling me about this big thing you'd done where people in to get skin checks. You both had gotten skin checks and found out there were moles that you needed removed.
And no. I still got haven't his done it.
Robin, no.
Haven't you had yours cut out yet?
No.
I thought, how many do you have to get cut out?
It's just one. It's been dodgy for a little while, but not like it hasn't got progressively worse. But I was suggested that I have it shaved off, and it's diabolically bad that I haven't. Anyway, you have, and that's good.
Man, shaved off, that's a nice term. I don't think mine got shaved out as much as they excavated a portion of my back.
They go deep.
Yeah, it took only 15 minutes, which I was surprised about. But when I walked in, the nurse, this lovely girl named Eugene, goes, "No way." I said, "What's going on?" She said, "I've seen you every year at the comedy festival for the last 6 years.
Aww.
I was like, "Oh, thanks, Eugene." And then the receptionist said, "Is he funny?" And I said, Eugene's been going for 6 years, so either I'm funny or she's mental, right? Either way.
Or she needs a good night out.
But then Eugene said, "I've been seeing him for so long, I started seeing him when he was fit and handsome. That's how long I've been seeing him for." I'm like, oh, God.
That was a bit brutal.
This is how this starts.
And you're going to allow her with a knife to cut into your back. Excellent.
Yeah, I knew she wanted me to lose weight. I just didn't know she was going to take it out a chunk of my back at a time. And I couldn't believe it. 15 minutes, big chunk out. They let me take a photo of it.
Just take one it of home those in photos a jar.
No, they didn't let me to the Cody's pathology.
Yeah, looks good. You can plant it at home. See if it grows.
Put it in the fridge.
No, there's big roots on them.
Really?
Yeah, that's why they dig so deep. They're like a tree.
I know I'm new to Queensland, but do you guys have the mole fairy up here? Is that what happened? Do you put it under the bed?
Budget surplus, back in black. The Liberal parties are bathing in the glory of a budget that looks magnificent. And to sell it, they're going right around Australia. They've sent the finance minister, Matthias Cormann, to Brisbane.
Which is why we have his Belgium theme music playing.
Yeah, it's very nice to walk into something like that because I am from Belgium. Sorry, I've jumped the gun before you introduced me, Robin.
Oh, yeah. Well, Matthias, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here. It's been a while since I've spoken to you.
Is it Matthias or Matthias? I don't know.
don't you? I've been in this country so long. Everybody, sometimes people call me Matthew. Sometimes they call me Matthäus. After
Matty
the lovely...
C.
Muddy C, that's right, the M Dog. I get all sorts of different handles, so you can say Matthias. Is it Mardo or is it Mardo? That's simple, you know. Everybody knows that one, don't they?
We haven't seen you much since Malcolm was knifed. Have you been keeping a low profile?
Well, they've been hiding me behind closed doors since, you know, Malcolm Turnbull lost the confidence of the Liberal Party room. I was, of course, involved in the coup and counting the votes. And I said that Malcolm didn't have the votes. He only lost it by 3 votes. And I was one of the 3 that went against him. So as a finance minister, I can't count to 3. And they thought, maybe just disappear, you Mick Mock. So I did for a while there. And hello to you, Brendo Day.
Oh, hello. Hello. Nice. Yeah.
I know
nice
you're a big
you
fan of the finance ministry.
Huge
absolutely
fan of just finance in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan of you, MC Finance.
But, hello, Nick Cody. When I saw the poster with you and Robin and Mardo, I thought, Robin's got a son, a job at Triple M. Couple of wrangers there.
Okay. That might be nice for him. That's really nasty for me.
We are the reddest radio team around, aren't we?
It's nice that a minority is being so widely represented by a radio station here.
Now, I am obviously a big fan of you, as I said, MC
Thank you,
Finance.
Nick,
but
Nichols.
Can you remind people about who you are and what you get up to?
Yeah. Well, I'm just an ordinary working class man. Who is working for the government as Minister for Finance. I've got a wife and two children. I like to wake up in the morning, have a traditional Belgian breakfast. I cook myself some waffles with my waffle iron. And, I sometimes have the Nutella or the peanut butter, which you would like, Nick, because I know that you like delicious things. You may even pop over to my place one time.
Sounds great.
Do you ever tour in Canberra?
Yeah, I was just in Canberra a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, you'll come over and I'll look after you. And then, in the afternoon, after a torrid session in the finance ministry, I like to go to the gymnasium and work out. My favorite exercise is the burpee. And I look after my core and do some cardio.
That's enough about you. But as
enough about me.
Yeah, well, as finance minister, the day after the budget, are you happy with the budget?
Well, we can't get past what we would really like to do as the Liberal Party. We'd like to take all of your money off you and then just give it back to you like a parent gives a child an allowance to stop you drinking too many rums or whatever you do and smoking Horizons and gambling.
That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the Brisbane lifestyle.
You got it.
Very simple true or false for you. There's an enduring rumour that ScoMo pooped his dacks in the Engadine Maccas in 1997.
Who started that
true
rumour?
Or false?
I don't know.
After the Super League Grand Final, I've heard
That's
this
right,
before.
That's right, when the Sharks went down to the Broncos. Coincidentally, I'd just arrived in Australia. I'd been at Wollongong, and I was going back to Sydney. I stopped at Engadine on September the 20th, 1997.
That night?
I remember it very clearly, actually, Mardo, because I thought, the tradition was to throw your pickles at the wall, not to put the chocolate shake down your pants. So I think it's the truth. Wieder Zane.
Bye, sir.
Is that German?
Triple M.
The Brisbane Comedy Festival wraps up this weekend, and who better to bring it home than this bloke? He's had 14 sell-out Aussie tours in a row. He's the king of improvised comedy and our favourite hilarious Geordie. It's none other than our good mate Ross Noble. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm full of beans. I'm excited.
Have you two worked together before?
We have, yes. I think we worked together when you just passed... Was you just about to do your driving test or you just passed your driving test?
Yeah, I just passed my driving test. And if you don't know, some of you may think, well, Nick, you're 31, so you last gigged together 13 years ago. No, it was last year. Just got my license. Last year.
Yeah, it was down in Melbourne there. And now now I've remembered it. Do you remember the bit of advice that I gave you? It was only when I got in my own car and I was walking away, I went, I don't think that's the best advice I should have given to him. Advice was go down, like now you got your license, go down to Phillip Island and do a track day.
Do
you remember? I love driving, right? Love driving, love riding motorcycles, right? I'm a bit of a petrolhead, right? But, I was faster than Tom Cruise on Top Gear, but I never mentioned it.
You were too.
I never mentioned it. It's one of those things I never talk about the fact that I was faster than Tom Cruise on Top Gear. I never talk about it, though. It's not when he comes on the television, I don't tell my wife. Eh? It's got to the point now where if we drive past a billboard and Tom Cruise is on the billboard, I go, she goes, don't. I know.
Well, you speed past it.
So from my point of view, I just think, what better way to, if you want to be safer on the road, learn to go fast on a track. Because then that way you learn about the braking, you learn about what the car's capable of, and then if it's a bit wet, you can find out. So motorbikes, cars, I just think. So that's the way my head thinks.
That's a good idea.
And you just passed your test, and I'm going, get on the track. And I'm glad you're still alive. That's all I'm saying.
Are you back living in Australia? Because you were living here and then the awfulness of the Victorian fires.
Yeah. We moved back to the UK and that was, we found somewhere damp, you know, that wasn't going to burst into flames. Yeah. We've moved back now. Yeah. We're living back here
down the
Mornington Peninsula.
Didn't you have a heap of vehicles? Did you have to bring them over?
Well, no, this is the thing. I had to sell. I had a tank. I bought a tank, and like I say, I like to drive. So I had a massive shed full of motorcycles, and then we decided to move, and that's the biggest waste of money I've ever done in my entire life. But no, basically, what I've done is move back here and I'm trying to get my kids to be as Aussie as possible because they're a bit Merchant Ivory at the moment. They're a bit like they stare out windows and go, Father, it's a particularly nice day.
Oh, no.
And it's just like that. So that I've taught my 6-year-old, because I'm a big fan of Hello, Frank Hawker, National Cars. So what I do is I spend a lot of my day. I become Frank Walker because I feel he's the perfect role model. So I walk around and I go, hello, what would you like for your breakfast?
Not only a great Frank Walker, that is an awesome Australian accent.
Well, thank you very much. I'm trying to teach the children. So now my 6-year-old holds her nose because that's how you get a real Frank Walker. So my 6-year-old walks around, but she does. I forget, and she does it at the most inopportune moments. So we'll just be in the shop, and I'll just go, "Where have you gone?" And she'll pop out from behind an aisle and go, "Hello,
always a pleasure, Ross.
Thanks, and you can have if you come along, you get 50% off all timber and laminate
flooring.
I'd say fairer than that.
If you're a league fan, YouTube that, Tina Turner, and you'll see the greatest rugby league ad ever made, I believe.
We were just going through it before, we were naming all the players. Like, there's Alfie, there's Stello.
But it's when they've all got hair and they've got muscles and stuff. It is the best. So that was 30 years ago. Rugby league was dead broke, okay, 30 years ago. And John Quayle, who used to run it, he was like the CEO in those days, if anyone remembers him. He said, righto, we've got to jazz things up. It was still called the Winfield Cup. They were still playing for a Durry company. Yeah. And he went, righto, I've got an idea. Because his secretary, now I better make sure I get this right, his secretary was Mickey Braithwaite. Now you go, who's Mickey Braithwaite?
Who's Mickey Braithwaite?
Married to Daryl Braithwaite.
Oh, as in
from
horses.
From Sherbet and horses and everything else.
Wow.
Okay. That was his secretary. So now Daryl Braithwaite had the same manager as Tina Turner.
Oh,
so John Quayle said, I want that song. Can we get Tina Turner? And somehow he has negotiated between his secretary's husband's manager. They got Tina Turner for free. So she should have cost $5 million.
How did that? What, as a favour?
As a favour. It went ahead, an all-time great hit. It was a magnificent song. It was all fabulous.
Well, that's a remarkable bit of history, mate. But as you know, the NRL have had a bit of a tumultuous off-season. We spoke to Todd Greenberg, the CEO, last week. And after the chat, we were talking to him on the phone for a bit longer. And he said, guys, we need you to put a song together to get the fans back into the great game, you know, because in the off season there was the sex tapes being leaked.
Yeah.
The entire Cronulla Sharks team got banned from a sailing club. The whole team.
Remember that.
There's everything. So here at Triple M, we've put together a song that is going to fire everyone up for this year's NRL season. Some boys go to school and learn some manners. Some boys just want to run headfirst into things. Try to change the habit of a leaguey, don't even try. Cause when you get them out on the turfs, then you realize. What you get is what you see, another sex tape leaking. Players drinking their own wee, Cronulla Sharks are cheating. The Titans won't stop boring me. And everyone hates Manly. What you get is what you see. A Penrith Panthers pawn ring. Cronulla's banned from sailing. They are repeat offenders. Hobrig Inglis is a big fatty. Oh, yeah. Watch it. Come round one.
That's a hit.
That's a hit.
I just got a message from my mum last night. Go the Reds. So I'm glad she was watching.
Oh, well done,
sure. Hey, I spoke to her the other day, my mum, just checking up, make sure once a week, try to get out there and be a good son. Not really, I'm not.
She feeds you up and then you roll in home.
And it's, your mum goes, oh, I know you're busy, I'll let you go. And then I thought, hold on, I need to start showing more interest in what mum's up to. Mm. She lives out near Chermside Shopping Centre there.
It's only taken you how long?
Right, sometimes okay. I do. All right, but she had said, mum's a big time member of Aspley Bowls Club, which is next to the Aspley Hornets there, if anyone knows the north side. Right, so she said, oh, we got the big fashion parade. And I was going to leave it because I was busy and just let it roll on. I thought, hold on, the big fashion parade? I said, what's up? She said, oh, I'll do all the food. We've got a full house. In fact, we've got more than we can probably handle, Greg. So I went with it. I said, now tell me. And then I went, Ollie's mum's 80, very soon. And so are all the old people down there. And I said, Mum, tell me what happens at these fashion parades. All of a sudden I went, oh, this is insane. Yeah. She said, oh, well, half a dozen of the better looking old girls get dressed up. I said, where are you getting the clothes from?
Miller's.
Well, Kath thought that too when I typed. Is that a bad thing?
I don't know what that means. It's just a much older ladies kind of fashion.
Well, Kath
place.
Said Miller's and said it with the same smile on her face.
Paddy Newton used to be the face of Miller's.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's
that just kind of
that really
tells
sums
you.
It up.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Well, I thought, hello. Well, Miller's. Oh, I didn't know who they were. What was Ellen? Susan Gray. I thought, they're cashing in on these because some of them have got plenty of money, and you know how they like looking good.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So she had 180 people, and this was a Friday.
Wow.
180 people to their fashion parade. So I kept asking questions. It's a lady. There's a lady who goes around, and I don't know the name of her business. She goes to all the retirement villages and bowls clubs for the last 35 years and does fashion parades. Mum said she is making squillions out of it. Because, of course, Beryl will say to Daphne, oh, God, you look good. Oh, well, Daphne buys that outfit straight away. She's probably got plants in the audience.
You're saying she's been doing it for 35 years. How old was she when she started?
Yeah, I don't know.
Was she just a 25-year-old rocking up? Should we put on a fashion show here at the old folks' home?
She could have been. Are you just looking? Tapping away
fashion
here.
Fashion parade and morning tea, Aspley Memorial Bowls Club.
That was Mum's Bowls. That was Friday. So I don't even know how, I didn't know. And Mum said, well done on my commentary. And I haven't sent back, how did the fashion parade go? Yeah. But you got to ask your parents sometimes. They're scratching away doing lots of, while we're going to work and thinking we're busy with our families. They're not just sitting around the oldies.
Oh, no.
They're doing stuff.
My mum, all my mum's doing is constantly getting kicked off social media for going Trump supporters.
Your
mum's mad too.
Okay, the New South Wales elections were just on Saturday and she was supposed to be down there. She came up to celebrate my husband's birthday and my son's birthday, but she had to find, and this is, I quote, another euthanasia green sympathiser or enthusiast to hand out how to vote cards.
Had she promised to help them at the thing?
Yes.
Euthanasia Greens.
Yeah. Enthusiast.
It's a niche area, that one.
Would have been a
funnily enough, because spending all Saturday handing out forms would make me want to kill myself. So.
Okay, I want to have an emoji chat. Do you guys use emojis in your text messages?
I do. My emoji, I'm very shuckers heavy. I love chucking a shuckers out.
I do the namaste, the one with the yoga.
Do you?
The hands
what
praying.
For?
Oh, when people do something and it's that's my yes.
Oh,
or thank you. As
okay. Well, let me just give you a history with my emoji ideals. I don't like it when I'm having a conversation with someone and they don't know what to say and they send an emoji.
Okay.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Clearly, over the last week, you've learnt that I have some issues around text messaging because it's a lot of things that make me cross. But I sent an emoji conversation, just three emojis to my husband.
No words.
Yeah.
No words.
Oh.
And I thought they were pretty straightforward.
Right,
but bless his cotton socks, he got them so wrong. So I just want to check with you guys as to what you think this would be and whether you get it straight up means that I'm right. And anyway. Okay, so they were the eye.
Eggplant.
I learnt what that meant this week. Stop it. Okay, so the two eyes.
Welcome aboard.
I know, it takes me a while. I did have to ask my son and he went back with Mom. Okay, so you're concentrating?
Yeah.
The two eyes, a heart.
Hold on.
The two eyes.
I don't think I've ever
eye
used
emojis.
Eyes not attached to a face.
Okay.
Yeah. Just the eyes.
Just the eyes.
Yeah.
Right. A heart.
Yeah.
And then
I use
a sheep.
A lot. And a sheep.
What do you think I'm saying? Brenda, you've worked it out, haven't you?
I love sheep.
No.
I love you.
Yes. Do you know what my gorgeous simple. Husband came back with? He goes, why are you saying look, love, sheep?
Look, love, sheep.
Do they always mean look, do they?
The very unsuccessful follow-up to Eat, Pray, Love. Yeah. Look, love, sheep. That's not getting turned into a movie anytime soon. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.